Go with me in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bring our prayers, we bring our lives, and we bring our sacrifices before you today. We thank you for your redeeming love, your mercy, and your grace. We take authority over the deceiver right now, and we ask you to bless these, your children, and co-laborers on the battlefield, protecting the shield of faith. I pray that the eyes of their understanding may be enlightened, that they may know how rich your inheritance is in the saints, that they may be filled with the knowledge of your will and your wisdom and spiritual understanding. We come praying that we would walk fully pleasing you, Lord, that we would increase our knowledge and apply what we are learning. We come to you today that when the enemy to our souls tries to distort our vision and blind us to our inheritance, we pray, O Lord, that you would perfect our vision to see your way and your will for our lives. And when we stumble, Lord, we thank you for being the lamp unto our feet. We thank you, Lord, for giving us living waters that flow to refresh us when we are battle weary. Help us to remain mission minded with 20/20 vision. And like Paul on the road to Damascus, take the scales off our eyes that we may see your glory and stop seeing and telling our story of hurt and pain and mistakes and loss. Help us not to doubt you in this season, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes on you, Lord, and not on the storm. Help us to keep our eyes on Christ and not our circumstances. Help us to see your predestined plan for us and not our pain. Help us not to see ourselves as victims, but as worthy of victory. Help us to see what you see in us. Help us to keep our eyes stayed on thee. Baptize us with your living waters. In the name of Jesus, we pray for vision this morning. Amen, amen, amen. Would you turn with me to Ephesians. Some say Paul wrote this book. There's a controversy who really wrote it, but we know it was God-inspired. Because the book of Ephesians is about us learning to have vision. The book of Ephesians is written to encourage us to claim our inheritance. Who wants to claim their inheritance? Who wants to walk in their possibilities? Who wants to walk in their dreams? Who wants to have a vision for more than where you are now or more than what you have right now? Ephesians 1, verse 17 through 18. Ephesians 1, verse 17 through 18. The writer says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation means seeing. What you didn't see before, you now see it. The veil has been pulled to the side. You now see. So that you may know him better, Jesus, I pray that the eyes of your heart. It didn't say your physical eyes. It said the eyes of your heart. Somebody say the eyes of my heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Somebody say me. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the holy people. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you so much for standing and honoring the word of God. We thank you, God, right now that you would use this vessel this morning and people would not see the physical on a mission. The enemy wants to distort your vision. Some of you are on a mission for ministry. Some of you are on a mission to get a job. Some of you are on a mission to heal your family. Some of you are on a mission to heal your body. Some of you are on a mission to get clean and sober. Everybody's on a mission. But what we need, the Holy Spirit led me this morning to focus, is how do we do that if we don't have a vision? Some of you want to start a business, but you don't have a vision for yourself. Some of you want to be in a loving relationship and married, but you just can't see it happening. Some of you are in dead-end jobs, but you just can't see that God has something better for you. Some of you are in the midst of drama, and you just can't see that it's going to get better. And the Holy Spirit is our spiritual optometrist. Somebody say, I was blind, but now I see. I know I was blind. And now I see. In my travels, I often rent cars. And I remember renting a car, and you know when you get into the car, you have to turn on the radio, and you're going to listen to whoever was in the car before you. And I turned on, it was a rap station. I'm not into rap. But there was a reason why the Holy Spirit convicted me to listen to this song and listen to the lyrics. And I said, I'm going to find out who's singing this song. I have on my phone what they call the sound hound, which means when you're listening to a song, you can find out who's singing the song and who when it was written, and said, let me get out my phone because this song is interesting. The lyrics are interesting, and maybe one day I can use this in a message. So this was some time ago. I heard it, and when I began to focus on vision, I said, oh, yeah, I remember that song. Now, it's a rap song, so I'm not going to rap it. I don't have that rhythm. I don't have that cadence. But I want you to understand what the rappers were saying, and then I'm gonna tell you who sang it. Maybe you know who they are, because I don't know who they are. But I love what I heard in the car, because after I laid down my judgment glasses, I said, let me see what they're talking about. And they said, trying to make some skrill. Now, you know I had to get out my Urban Dictionary. There is an Urban Dictionary online. You can go and look up words. Some words I don't know. I'm very old school. But they said, trying to make some skrill, got to pay these bills. I'm out to make a meal. If you're going to do as will, you got to stay real. Hustling every day and night, trying to pay the rent. My mama smoked up here on dope, so the money spent. I know the Lord is watching me, but he gave us free will. I feel that's what's stopping me because I'm in love with my skrill. My mind is on deep meditation about me and God's separation. And if I don't do his will, I'm going to hell is my calculation. That's a sticky situation, knowing that what I'm facing, sin had me pacing. Repented with no hesitation. He brought me from a life of sin, drinking gin. But now I'm saved, so I know what I could make it. I try to tell my friends that they're going out backwards and they're either dead or in the pen or somewhere scattered. So I hope and I pray God bless all the G's and open up their eyes just like he did me. I open my eyes and I visualize my current state. No God, no faith, and a dirty slate. Sipping eight with a life full of hate. Ooh, I wish I had wrote that. Never see the pearly gates unless I make decisions in a hurry. In a worldly state, my mind's reprobate. My vision's blurry, make amends in a hurry. But I saw the light. He shines on me. I was once blind, and now I see. I saw the light. He shines on me. I was once blind, but now I see. That was the Gospel Gangsters. I don't know if anybody knows who's... Oh, okay, you all know who they are. Okay. I had to look it up and make sure I came correct. But it was... I thought those lyrics were so interesting. How we focus on the skrill. How we watch our friends die. How we get unfocused. How our vision gets blurry. And we miss going through the pearly gates. We need a spiritual optometrist. And what the Holy Spirit asked me to do was to give a distinction, to understand what it is to have spiritual vision versus a physical sight. Because what you and I see with our physical eyes is limited. I only can see just across the street. I cannot see all the way to Norfolk, Virginia, LeSure, where I'm speaking. Where's LeSure? Yeah. I'll be going back to your hometown in a couple of days to speak at the university. And I can't see that far now. All I can see is just across the street. That's physical sight. But spiritual sight says I can see beyond my circumstances. I can see beyond my sick bed. I can see beyond my debt. I can see beyond the drama in my family. I can see beyond this dead end job. That's what I did in 1985. I said, I know this ain't it. Anybody have a season where you just said, this ain't it. This surely cannot be it. And I said, I see me, God, doing more of what I'm doing here, God. But I had to see with my supernatural vision. I had to see with my spiritual eye, Derek, not with my physical eye. That is how the enemy tricks us. The enemy wants us to think that our flaws will make us exempt from favor. All of us have flaws. But that doesn't mean we can't have God's favor. Now I was in the hair salon, and there was John, who did I see? Sugar Shane, what's his name? Sugar Shane Mosley came in the hair salon. So he was talking about boxing and talking about Tyson and talking about boxing, which I have no clue about the stats. But the teacher in me said, let me dig a little deeper. And I began to read about Tyson, and I read that at 20 years old, he soared to uncommon heights as the youngest heavyweight champion in history. He won 37 fights before Buster Douglas shocked him. Why did he shock him? Because he lost the fight. And Tyson went on to say that he was embarrassed. None of y'all have been ever embarrassed. None of you have ever lost. None of you have ever fallen. None of you have ever fallen short. None of you don't know what it's like to be embarrassed and full of shame. But he said, I feel like my life is over. I feel like my life is a waste. I feel like I just need to die. And what that said to me is that people like him that are used to winning can't handle losing. He lost his vision. He lost sight that was just temporary. He lost his sight of who he was, his strength. And, you know, many times you and I are so used to winning, so used to being pampered, so used to being spoiled, so used to having cable, so used to having food on the table that when it doesn't happen, we don't know what to do. The cable's off. What? We get so used to our spouse that when they're gone, we realize we took them for granted. We were so used to having it. You're so used to having what you have that when something is taken, you can't handle it. And you lose vision. You lose your sense of worth. So used to being catered to. So used to having your way. That's why we can't spoil our children. Because the minute life kicks them, they don't know how to cope. And as parents, we have to know how to say no sometimes. Because the world's going to tell them no. And if they don't hear no from you, the minute they hear no from the world, they're going to be like Tyson and want to say, I can't do this no more. I can't be in the fight no more. So many are used to having our legs. So used to having our arms. So used to having our sight. So used to having a warm bed. So used to having your sexy. So used to having a date that the minute you don't get a date, you think you'll never date again. You think you'll never find love again. Now let's flip it. Some people are so used to losing. So used to never winning. So used to not having anything that when God is ready to bless them and show them favor, they don't even believe that it could happen. They don't have the vision, somebody say vision, to see that favor has nothing to do with your flaws. It has nothing to do with your past. God is awesome. But if you're not used to winning, you will sabotage yourself. You will block your blessing. You will speak about lack and you'll talk about, I knew it wasn't going to happen. I knew it wasn't going to work. You'll start talking like Tyson, talking like a loser. I just have a question this morning. Is anybody in a fight? Is anybody in a fight? Is anybody in a fight? Now, in my earlier years developing to bring messages, I used to talk so much about just setting your goals and just having a plan and go from A to B to C. But you know, life is not like that. Life doesn't go from A to B to C. Life is not a straight line. It's a crooked line. Anybody ever found that out? It's a crooked line. It's not a straight line. And as I began to study, I've read the book called The Art of War. If you have not read the book, The Art of War, it's an excellent book because it's a book about